Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. Good afternoon. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend. That's nice. Brandon Arnold joins me. He's Executive Vice President of the National Taxpayers Union. We're going to talk a little bit about the national debt. $40 trillion now. Oh, that's nothing to worry about. By the way, I had to look this up because I'm not an expert on these things. Last time we were out of debt as a nation, and we were once, 1835, Andrew Jackson paid off the debt with $75 million before he paid it off. So 1835, we were debt-free. Ever since then, it's been a downhill slide. How are you, Brandon? Thanks for being here.
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
So I know you guys would like to see Congress act. I would, too. What would you like to see Congress do, though? It's interesting how Scott Bessent, let me mention Scott Bessent first. I'm sure you saw this. Vice President Vance said yesterday that Treasury Secretary Bessent has a very discreet plan to shrink the nation's debt. I'm dying to know what that is. Would you have any idea there?
I wish I did. He has not returned my text messages yet, but hopefully someday. I am open to any plan that exists right now to reduce our deficits, to get our debt under control. So I do look forward to seeing what the secretary has to offer here. You know, the problem is, you know, trying to get Congress on board with such a plan, especially heading into a difficult election period. Everyone's afraid that cutting spending is going to be a bad look politically. You know, I think getting our nation's finances in order should be a political winner, especially when you talk about the broad benefits that can have, not only providing some stability to our financial picture, driving down mortgage rates, lending rates, driving down the cost of living in general, and also not putting us in this, you know, unpleasant balance where we are dependent on other countries, foreign entities, borrowing our debt in order to make our obligations. I think that's a national security risk as well. So I think there's a lot of benefits. We need a new marketing department for folks that are actually trying to balance the budget.
Well, yeah. I mean, how could we possibly, and I'm just going to ask dumb questions because I'm not an economist here. Could we do things that some people do, like try to settle our debt, bring it down a little bit? I mean, what can Congress actually do that would bring this debt down?
Yeah, and we've got to pay off our debt. We got this. First of all, the first problem, the first way to address a major problem like this is to stop making it worse.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're in a position where Congress is trying to spend more. They're trying to unwind some of the good reforms that were in the One Big Beautiful Bill to squeeze out some of the waste, fraud, and abuse in federal programs, particularly in the food stamp program, which is absolutely rife with. They're trying to unwind this. They're trying to make the problem worse. And that's what the most frustrating thing is. It's tough to cut spending. I get that. It's a political challenge, but you have to do it. You know, we send people to Washington, D.C. to go to cocktail parties and to collect campaign checks. We sent them there to do the nation's work on behalf of American taxpayers. So there's a whole list of options that we can employ. Some of them are more challenging than others, especially when you talk about popular programs, Social Security, Medicare, and others. But we got to get this work done. Otherwise, we're going to be in real tough trouble as a nation.
No question. We're speaking with Brandon Arnold, Executive Vice President of the National Taxpayers Union. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. You know, I looked up, because I didn't know this, the history of, you know, which years were worse for debt and this and that. And the debt went up 3,000% in the 1860s. Okay, I'm not going to rattle off a bunch of numbers. No one likes numbers on the radio, so stay with me here. In the 1940s, it went up 498%. Now, what do we see there? War. Okay, I'm wondering, looking at these numbers, what the Iran war is going to be costing us and adding to our debt. Do we have any idea yet?
We're talking about tens of billions of dollars, and they haven't showed their hand entirely when it comes to cost. But you see some of the military requests that they're putting in, trying to get a defense budget at about $1.5 trillion, which would be far and away the largest we've ever had. Is all that money necessary? Well, part of that depends on your views on foreign policy. I won't get into that. But anytime you're looking at the defense budget, I think you need to consider how much waste is in the Pentagon. They have never passed an audit. They're the only part of the federal government that has never passed an audit. That is troubling in its own right. We all remember the stories, particularly from the Reagan era, of the gold-plated toilets, the $1,000 hammers, and so forth. And I'd like to say that's all been resolved, but I don't think they have. We're still giving money hand over fist to defense contractors. Some of that is going to very much needed weapon systems and so forth, but some of that is going to systems that are basically just jobs programs. They're not really contributing to our national defense. We are not at a point where we can afford that kind of
We don't know, by the way. A lot, they do have to replace a lot of the things they're shooting off at this point. We understand that. But, you know, that's another factor. And speaking of the 1980s, it was $908 billion during the 80s. By 1990, it was $3.2 trillion. That's a bit of a jump.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it just feels like it gets exponentially worse every year. It was just 2017 when we hit the $20 trillion threshold. And here we are doubling that. And,
right.
You know, it'd be one thing if this was just due to the pandemic. You know, we had a huge surge in spending, but we ratcheted up spending. You know, it went up for the pandemic, and you know, some of that was understandable. We were telling people they couldn't go to work. We're shutting down businesses. We had to spend more money. But we're not in a pandemic situation anymore. And we're spending like we are. That's unsustainable. If we just went to spending back to like 2020 levels, we'd still have some fiscal problems, to be sure, but they'd be much, much more manageable.
All right. So talk to me like I'm 4 years old, for those of us who are not economic experts, and explain how, you know, briefly, how everyday costs are affected by this debt. Because there have been people over the years, even conservatives over the years, who said, oh, don't worry about the debt. It doesn't really affect you. Well, it can't possibly not affect me. Talk to me about what costs me more money every single day because of the debt.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, anyone that's in the market for a house right now, trying to mortgage a home or take out a loan, be it for a car, or to start a small business, I think is facing higher cost. And that is because we are borrowing so much money. There's only so many lenders out there. And when you have more people trying to borrow money, it's just a supply and demand thing. Those lenders are going to require demand a higher return on their dollars. So you see, that's pushing up interest rates across the board. It's making it more difficult for average Americans to borrow money. You know, if you're on an adjustable rate mortgage, for instance, you feel that very, very powerfully. It's an enormous concern. But, you know, I think across the board, what we're seeing is just all of the spending, it also crowding out private investment. So it's because people are choosing to invest in government instruments rather than in the private sector, it's harder for private companies to raise capital to create jobs and grow their businesses.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I hadn't thought about that because, you know, government's going to keep spending, so invest your money there because you're going to get good returns on it. Meanwhile, somebody who has a company that, you know, when everything crashes, they're going to lose their money. But meanwhile, somebody who has a company that could actually grow is not getting the investment. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, it's a very concerning effect, a crowd out effect. And I think it's happening right now. And it's driving up costs. It's suppressing wages. It's just making it harder for everyday Americans.
Yeah, well, it's been 191 years since we were debt-free, as you know, and it's depressing. Something's got to happen. Problem is that, you know, spending money is good for, that's how people get back into office. Oh, look what I did. I brought this new center into your neighborhood, or I bought this new, you know, whatever. And that's all costing all of us money.
That's absolutely true. It's much more politically advantageous to do those ticker tape parades where you're opening up a new business or whatever, or, you know, you get money for the local water fountain or pickleball courts or whatever kind of ridiculous spending, and people are real happy with you. They don't really throw you a parade when you cut spending.
No,
we need
they
to change
don't.
That.
Yeah, I love it when they pull up the lectern podium. What do you want to call it? Where they speak from? I guess it's a lectern, and they just magically pull that up into the middle of a freeway and go, and they all stand out and pass out donuts and make speeches and you know, do their big ribbon cutting. And it's more money out of my pocket, is the way I look at it. Just open the other lane and shut up is what I want to say to these people.
Absolutely, I hate it when they name these installations, these roads or travel centers or whatever after politicians, as if it was their money. They just went and diverted my money toward this project, and they used their power and their clout to do so. They didn't take a nickel out of their own wallet.
That's what I want. Taxpayers off ramp. How about that? That's a good name for something like that.
There you go.
Taxpayers bridge. Brandon Arnold, National Taxpayers Union. Thanks for joining the Mark Reardon Show. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Heidi. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. Thanks. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, people don't realize how the national debt affects you, but we're talking $40 trillion. I don't know how they can ever get this down. I have no idea. But it's hard to believe that we've been in debt for 191 years, most of our entire existence as a nation. And it just keeps growing every year. And if you look at the list of where we were at certain times.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crazy. I looked at this list. I had to look this up because I didn't know all these details. In the 1980, we were $908 billion. 1990, $3.2 trillion. Trillion, that's a lot of zeros. By 2000, it was $5 trillion, almost six. By 2008, $10 trillion. 2012, $16 trillion, and on it goes. I mean, it's not funny, guys. I'm laughing because it's one of those things where you can either laugh or cry at the amount of money this government owes, but how many people, you know, have an interest in it? And at what point would another, you know what they say, what the Bible says about being a debtor? You're a slave to the lender, whether you're, you know, private person. I'm certain that applies to nations too. You're a slave to the lender when they've got you over a barrel, literally over a barrel. Sad. And that's the problem. You know, these politicians, they love to go back to DC, or whether it's a, you know, local place. You know, they go to Jeff City or wherever they go, wherever the state that you're in. They go there and they, you know, want to talk about all these good things they did while they were in office. And we got you a new soccer field. We got you a new baseball field. We got you this. We got you that. And you multiply that by every jurisdiction around the country. You know what happens there. And I'm not saying money doesn't need to be spent to fix roads and bridges and things like that. But is it spent the most efficiently? Probably not. And that's a part of it, too. And the rest of us sit down at the kitchen table and decide, okay, I want to do this. Can we afford it? And government doesn't work that way. And we all know it. They're not accountable. And a lot of times, if they don't spend all the money they had this year, then they're not going to be able to ask for the same amount next year. So there's an incentive for them to spend. You know, if I went to my husband, not that he controls everything I do, but, it, you know, in that regard. But if I went to my husband and said, well, you know, you gave me $100 last week. I blew all of it. I need $150 next week. He would say, well, what did you spend it on? Like I would to him. What? Where did that money go? Oh, well, I need more this week because I spent it all last week. And if you bring it down to the personal level, that's really what it comes down to. But government has no incentive. Their only incentive is to get more money next year, and they have to spend all the money they have. There's no incentive to save any of it. And who knows what this Iran war is going to cost us? Who knows at the end of the day? Between all the things that we're running through, all the ammo and everything we're running through, that we do have to have on hand. In case we tangle with China in 2027, which a lot of people are talking about. But they're not problem solvers, are they? They're just politicians. That's the truth. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Reardon.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.